Good morning. My name is John, and I am the pastor here at Des Moines Mennonite Church. If you are visiting or if you've been part of this community for many years, it is good to be together today to worship God on this beautiful morning. My earliest memories of worship resembled a scene like this. There is a preacher on stage, and he's giving his best bad dog sermon. Have you ever heard a bad dog sermon? It's a sermon where you get scolded the whole time. Okay? He's up there convicting us of our shortcomings, convincing us of our need for repentance, calling us forward to the altar, calling us to beg for forgiveness and commit our lives back to Jesus before it's too late. It's a pretty intense scene. Those were my earliest years in Christian formation in this highly charged, extreme fire and brimstone context. Worship was like an old school revival. And I left that way of doing church in my late teenage years. And I entered the Mennonite world, and I discovered when I did that there is a different way of doing church. There were worship services without altar calls in the Mennonite church. And that was a big relief for me. When I reflect on this worship style of my youth, I find parts of it that I honestly respect. My great-grandfather was a traveling revival preacher from the mountains of West Virginia. So I think some of it's in my blood. But there were many reasons why I couldn't connect to this way of doing worship any longer. And one of the main reasons was that this style of worship began to feel too narrow from both a practical and a theological standpoint. When we come to worship, we come into the presence of God and we come into the presence of our community. And so, like the cross behind me here, worship has both a vertical and a horizontal element to it. We are in relationship with God, and we are in relationship with our brothers and sisters. The experience of worship that I grew up with essentially cut worship in half by only focusing on our relationship with God, forgetting how our relationships with each other, I believe, is essential to worship. And so when I entered the Mennonite church, I appreciated that worship, in its best sense, focused on both that horizontal and vertical elements. I cannot separate our relationship from God with our relationship with others in our midst. And so as Mennonites, as Anabaptist Christians, we see faith as a living, breathing relationship between ourselves, others in our midst, and God. And we are at our best when our worship reflects this holistic perspective. So the view that worship at its core has both a horizontal and a vertical element to it doesn't come from thin air. It comes from the book of Acts. Our passage today is the first description we get in Scripture of what life was like for the earliest church. And the rhythm of the early church consisted of group study, eating together, supporting one another, sharing resources, fellowship, and ultimately worship. Everything they did had the purpose of connecting them with God and connecting them with each other. They were seeking God together, and the scripture tells us, the story tells us, that people were joining this church day after day. Gathering for worship is at the heart of the early church, and it remains at the heart of the church today. It's about the only thing that Christians agree with. Worship is important. And so it's appropriate that the first statement within the statement in our mission statement is to seek God in worship. As followers of Jesus, we seek God in worship. I think there is something innate in us as people that leads us to worship. We are worshiping creatures. You might say we are created to worship. We are always seeking. We want to connect with something greater than ourselves. And when it comes to this reality, the writer Paul David Tripp says it well. He says, human beings are by their very nature worshipers. Worship is not something we do. It defines who we are. You cannot divide human beings into those who worship and those who don't. Everybody worships. It's just a matter of what or whom we serve. Maybe Bob Dylan said it better in his song, Gotta Serve Somebody. But you're gonna serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna serve somebody. Maybe the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. We live in a culture where there is constant competition for our worship, for our attention. I was reminded of this again on Thursday night when my Philadelphia Eagles took the field for the first time this season. And without thinking twice, I became glued to my television for 4 hours. I never do anything for 4 hours. And that looked a lot like worship. We worship our phones. We worship celebrities. We worship sports. We worship political figures. We worship our bank accounts. And I know this because I do this. We all do. We are all human. So I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty for checking Facebook or watching the game. My point is that we are created to worship something. And the truth is that whatever we worship forms who we are. We are shaped by what we worship. Now, there was a time in my life, a time when I was frustrated and angry with the church. And I would argue with my friends that we didn't need to go to church to follow Jesus. It's a curious idea coming from somebody who became a pastor. But I thought it was possible to follow the way of Jesus without participating in a regular worshiping community. But a breakthrough happened for me when I began to see that worship isn't really about coming to church and receiving information about God. It's about coming to church and being formed by God in the presence of community. Worship is about formation, not information. As we join together, as we pray, as we sing, as we share our lives, as we serve, as we hear the voices of children, as we contemplate Scripture and hear the good news proclaimed, we are entering God's story. We are telling God's story. Worship is not about receiving information. It's about being formed by the story of God. Every Sunday that we gather in this space, we enter God's story. And when we do so, the story of our lives becomes part of God's story. And from week to week, our worship here takes on many different shapes and sizes. But one thing must always be there. At the heart of God's story is a love that reconciles all things. A love that reconciles us to God and a love that reconciles us to one another. Now, I have only been part of this worshiping community for 2 months. But if I could use one word that describes worship here at Des Moines Mennonite Church, I thought about this a lot this week, and I think that word would be authentic. I'm struck by the ways that you share openly and courageously about your lives with each other. I'm struck by the ways that we sing our hearts out each week. I'm struck by the ways that we value everyone's participation and worship. I'm struck by the ways that you listen to sermons and feel empowered to share your feedback during our sharing time. And I'm sure you can think of many other examples that reflect our value of authenticity and worship. Where does that authenticity come from? What are the roots of that authenticity? Because authenticity isn't something that you can just create on a whim. It's not a recipe you can put together. It's something that comes from deep within. I believe it comes from a profound connection to God's reconciling love. Our worship isn't about all the current bells and whistles out there or being liturgically flawless. It is simple and substantive. It is authentic. And when we gather here for worship, we have come to seek God together and grow deeper into God's reconciling love. And we need this because we all show up here on Sundays carrying something with us. Maybe a relationship that just doesn't get better. It could be a troubling medical diagnosis, a week of work that drains more than it energizes, uncertainty about where the money is going to come from, bullying at school, or maybe just a sense of weariness with where our world is at today. My hope is that when we show up here to seek God together, that we feel God's presence with us, and that we are able to find what we need to continue our journey in the next week ahead. Jesus tells us that wherever two or three are gathered in his name, he is there among them. When we gather to worship, Jesus is present with us. No matter what challenges we are facing, no matter what we are carrying with us, Jesus is present with us. Several years ago, while I was living in Kansas, emergency sirens suddenly interrupted a quiet late afternoon. A shooting had just occurred at a large business in the next town over. And three people were killed before a heroic police officer intervened. Several members of my congregation and several friends of mine that I played basketball with each week were there. Needless to say, it was a horrific day for the community. The next night in church, we gathered for youth group, as we did every Wednesday, for fellowship, and we sat mostly in silence. We were all shaken up by what had just happened, and one of the members of our youth group, her father, just happened to leave work that day a mere few minutes before the shooting occurred. Now, it was one of those times that, as a pastor, you don't know quite what to do or what to say. Nothing quite feels right in the moment. But then one of the students simply suggested that we worship together. So that's what we did. The words of worship are always there when we are at a loss for words. We read scripture. We sung a few hymns. We shared together. We lit candles, we prayed, and we felt the presence of God with us. In this simple act of worship, in the aftermath of violence, fear, and death, we told the story of God's love. Love that reconciles and gives new life. Worship was what we needed to get through that night and continue our journey. That's why we worship. On its own, worship cannot overcome all that ails us and this world. On its own, worship cannot solve our problems or overcome our challenges. But it can remind us that God's story is still being told. And it can remind us that God's story has the final word. And that word will be love. May it be so. Amen.